Now, I want to begin by promising you that I did not collaborate with Tiffany in the preparation of my sermon today. She looked at the passage, and God spoke to her, and wow, something similar came about. What does it mean to follow Jesus? When I was a youth involved in Boy Scouts, our troop leader had an exercise that he liked us to do. Yes, indeed, it was called Follow the Leader. One person was chosen to be the leader, and the rest had to follow their lead and do what they did and change doing it when they would change doing it. If the leader lifted a foot and balanced on one foot, we all had to lift a foot and balance on one foot. I usually fell over. If the leader turned around, we all had to turn around and get dizzy doing it. If the leader would pat his head with one hand and rub his tummy with the other hand, we all had to do the same thing. And when he switched, we had to keep doing it too and switch when he would switch. And then try to do that by patting your tummy and doing in circles on your head. Oh my goodness, it's hard to do. We had to watch, we had to pay attention, and we had to do it. You know the drill. The point was developing attention and coordination. You paid attention to what the leader was doing. You copied what they were doing. And when the leader changed, you changed. Immediately, without hesitation. It required flexibility, the ability to change, and change fast. Following the leader, in this case, following Jesus, requires all of this and more. We can see this in the calling of his disciples. Jesus sees Simon and Andrew, Simon who would become known as Peter, and he calls them to leave their work, the thing that they've known all their life, what they've done to earn their living for years and years, and to follow him. There's no indication that they ever debated amongst themselves. There's no indication that neither in Mark nor in the other Gospels that they hesitated, that they paused, or that they said, I'll go tomorrow. Quite the contrary. In Mark's Gospel, it says that Jesus called them while they were in the very midst of fishing. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. There's no indication here that they even drew in their net before leaving. Think about that. It says that they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Hey, Simon, what about your net? Leave it. I'm following Jesus. Wow, talk about a response. Talk about flexibility. Talk about following the leader, knowing who the leader is, and doing it immediately. We're just not that good at responding to God anymore, are we? We take our time. We ponder the ramifications and the implications. We worry about the consequences. We debate the advisability of it. We establish commissions and committees to examine it and argue about it for years before we do anything about it. And like other biblical characters, we're often prone to throwing up qualifications and bargaining with God. I'll go if thus and such. I'll do it if you do this for me. Can you guarantee that it won't hurt? It won't be costly? It won't take more than just a few days to get done? It won't keep me away from home, away from family and friends? Indeed, like other biblical characters, we often argue with God. Like Moses, we'll say, choose somebody else. Like Abraham, we'll moan and groan and say, we're too old to do that. We'll find excuses. We're always good at finding excuses for not following when God calls. But guess what? God calls us anyway. Imagine that. Even despite our groaning and moaning and complaining, even despite our bargaining, even despite our questioning, God calls us anyway. That wasn't Simon and Andrew. We often pick on Simon, on Peter, which became Jesus' nickname for him, often because he was impetuous. And we use that word impetuous usually in a negative sense, but look at its definition. It means to act or do something quickly and without thought or care for consequences. It means to move forcefully or rapidly. And that's certainly what's happening here. Simon and Andrew leave their nets immediately and follow Jesus. They didn't wait around. It doesn't even say they hauled in their nets before they left. It says they went. They left their nets immediately and followed Jesus. Something similar happens with Zebedee's sons, James and John. Jesus went a little further. He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here we see Zebedee's sons, and they were busy. They were working. They were in the middle of mending their fishing nets, fixing them, repairing them for use. And their dad was with them working too. And when Jesus calls James and John, they abandon their work, they abandon their dad, and they go and follow Jesus. Again, there is no indication that they debated amongst themselves. There's no indication that they gave any thought to their responsibility to their father, which, by the way, is a huge issue and one that we quickly overlook. It simply says that they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. The dad's not alone. He still has employees, but his sons, upon whom he manifestly depended, just up and left to follow Jesus. Receptiveness, attention, flexibility, they had that. Simon and Andrew, James and John, it's not like they weren't doing anything. It's not like they were unemployed or bored. They were busy in the middle of everyday life, making a living, caring for family with duties and responsibilities, and they just dropped it all and literally left their nets, their boats. And in James and John's case, their dad, right there, without debate, without delay, and they followed Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Firstly, it means that we do so immediately. We don't wait around to do it. We don't hesitate until the timing is right. We don't bargain for better conditions. Among the disciples, they did all these things later. They argued about who would have the best seats next to Jesus. They had their mom come. James and John had their mom come to beg for the best seats for them. No. They, when Jesus calls them, immediately leave and follow him. They dropped all that they had and went. I think it's unusual for us to do this today. Many of us had a moment, a definable, identifiable moment, when we decided we were going to follow Jesus, when we accepted God's call to commit our lives to Christ. And others grew up into it as if we had always done so and were going to just keep on doing so as we grew up. Some did it because others were doing it. Some did it because they were pressured into do it by family or friends. Some did it because they were scared about going to hell or frightened about being left behind. There are lots of reasons why people follow Jesus today. And there is usually an identifiable moment when that decision was made. But rarely is it immediately upon the call. Often Jesus has to pass by and beckon us again and again and again before we respond, before we drop our nets and follow him. I'm reminded of friends that I had when I was in seminary. Friends who had gone and worked in other fields and other jobs and other work, and over the years they heard the call of Jesus, and by their own admission, they ignored the call of Jesus, they denied the call of Jesus, they pretended they weren't hearing the call of Jesus to enter into the ministry to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, they made money. They were lawyers and doctors. They were teachers. Some people were cab drivers. Some people worked in the food industry. And they debated and they argued with God and they said, "Oh, you can't be calling me God," until finally, after years, they answered the call, said yes to the call, and went to proclaim the gospel. I know people who've been called to ministry, who've been told, "No, you can't enter the ministry." One of my best friends in seminary, Helen Phillips, she was told, "Women can't preach." And so for years, she didn't even try, until finally she could not deny it anymore and switched denominations to make it possible. I loved Helen. She was amazing. She was voted the best preacher in my seminary class, even though she was over 50 at the time and only have a couple, 20 years or so in ministry. She was amazing to sit there and listen to. But she and others like her either did not have the opportunity to say yes to the call, or in their own admission, ignored the call, denied the call, ran from the call. Following Jesus calls forth from us a willingness to act, a willingness to change, a willingness to pay attention to Jesus, a willingness to do what he does and what he tells us to do. And we have a lot of trouble with that. Let's take one simple way that Jesus calls us into following him. Jesus calls us to forgive others as God has forgiven us. When he says to forgive, we hesitate. We argue. We stall. We try to bargain. We set limits and qualifications. "I'll forgive Jane for this, but not for that. I'll forgive Mike when he begs for forgiveness. I'll forgive Steve, but only if he has to suffer before I do it. I'll forgive Anne, but only if she stays a long way away from me." Jesus doesn't allow for any of that. What did he teach us in the prayer? "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." The implication is clear. If we don't forgive, we cannot expect to be forgiven. And the calling is clear. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. We pray that prayer week after week, but I'm convinced that we don't really believe it. We want to be forgiven, period. And our forgiving others, well, we'll think about that and possibly get around to it sometime next decade. Yep. If I were Jesus, I'd dump all of us and get some new disciples. Can I get an amen? Yeah, that's a hard one to say amen to, isn't it? He had plenty of problems with the original 12. And their close associates. But he didn't dump them. And he doesn't dump us. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Will we follow Jesus? Reminded of that song. "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." Wow. Have you decided to follow Jesus? to forgive, to give, to serve and to love, to pray and to proclaim, to follow Jesus wherever he may lead? We have to make that decision. I'm not going to say that we don't have real competing concerns, because we do. Just like James and John Zebedee, they had their father there in the boat with them, and yet they dropped their nets that they were mending and followed Jesus. Jesus' call is real and just as demanding and just as immediate today as it was when he called his first disciples. What are we going to do? Are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to live the life that he has for us? Are we going to share the good news of the love of God with others? Are we going to proclaim the joy that comes from living in Christ Jesus? Are we going to live that life and share that life with others? Are we going to hoard it to ourselves and hide in fear at the possibility of rejection, or hide in fear at what it means to follow Jesus, at what we must possibly have to give up to follow Christ? Our dads in the boat, our fishing nets in the lake. What are we going to do? Are we going to follow Jesus? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may the people of God say, Amen. In your